I kind of anticipated Tennessee because nobody else thought they would actually play well last week, thought they would do okay last week in Denver. Well, obviously that did not happen. I go back to conversations that we had back in September when the conversation was whether or not if Marcus Mariota gets benched, when it was going to happen. Didn't think anything would be done until they saw how he was going to perform behind that line with Taylor Lewan returning in the Buffalo game. When that didn't pan out, just as I said back then, just really felt like Denver was the kind of game where, it, depending on how that played out, that could be the game when we finally see Ryan Tannehill. Well, that's exactly what played out. And so now Tannehill getting his first start in a Tennessee Titans uniform on Sunday.
Yeah, and you know, you kind of just look at the way the things have gone for this offense, and it's hard to see them doing much worse than what they've gotten of late production-wise. I still think so much of what has to be corrected has to start up front with the offensive line. You know, for how the offense have looked under Ryan Tannehill after he subbed in after Mariota was benched there in the third quarter, the offense did move a little bit better. Obviously the situation was a little bit different, so they were passing more. The Broncos defense was doing, you know, some different stuff. So the offense was able to get into more of a rhythm there. But Ryan Tannehill was still sacked four times after Mariota had been sacked three times. So, you know, I think that the problems with this offensive line, are really where the problems start for the offense. But, you know, just looking at what Ryan Tannehill brings to the table, I think it was the right time to make this move. As Mike Vrabel said, he definitely had to be benched. Mariota did when he was in that Broncos game. And you know, I think going forward, I think Tannehill, he could really get it out fast. I think, I think getting on the same page with receivers is going to be something to keep an eye on. But, he's a reliable guy. He's a proven starter in this league. And I think, it's going to be hard for this type of offense to do any worse than they have in the past couple of weeks.
Your thoughts? I mean, that's one of the issues, and we like I said, the one pass to his left last week with Marcus Mariota, when we saw that, I mean, a middle school quarterback can make that throw. You could just tell where the confidence has just left the building with regards to Marcus Mariota. But that's just one problem with this team. I mean, certainly now you start needing to address the John Robinson's role. Certainly Mike Vrabel's role. I go back to words. Now, if he truly believes it, which I don't have any doubts that he doesn't feel what he has said over the last two or three weeks, comments about, basically the coaches are doing their jobs. You know, the players know what they need to be doing. It's on the players is what he's, paraphrasing, but that's what he said, especially when he was being questioned about the offensive line. And so if that's the case, then guess what? I have problems and issues with Mike Vrabel as head coach and and if you want to continue that, obviously with some of the assistant coaches as well.
Yeah, because, you look at the execution, that goes back to coaching. You look at the failure to execute, that goes back to, some of the moves that John Robinson has made. And again, you look at what was done this past offseason, and a lot of it on paper seemed like it could work out, from bringing in Roger Saffold, who was billed as sort of the top offensive guard on the market this past offseason. At the time, we all thought that was a pretty smart move by John Robinson, the right move, just given how the interior of the offensive line last season was really the biggest liability when it came to probably the entire team, but certainly the offense when it came to the fact that Marcus Mariota last season was sacked a career-high 42 times. So, I think he deserved, at the time, credit for that move. Obviously, it hasn't panned out, and then you could see the same for Adam Humphries. He seemed like a wide receiver that was sort of tailored exactly to Mariota's skill set, just as this slot receiver extraordinaire. Really seemed like, he would be piling up catches in this type of offense. And again, that hasn't panned out also. So, these two moves that, the Titans thought would help them, John Robinson thought would help them, really haven't gone a long way in doing much of anything. And, of course, now that the move that, may or may not remains to be seen, could prove big is the Ryan Tannehill move, depending on, how things play out now. But obviously just to get to this point, is an indictment of everything that's gone on here. The fact that Mariota by week 7 is already on the bench, You know, I think it's a failing, really any way you look at it, at every you know, facet of the organization, from the players' execution to the coaches, you know, game plan and play calling to the guys that John Robinson has been in here. And look, I mean, it is week six. There's still time for the Titans to turn this thing around. But you know, they're going to have to do it now with Ryan Tannehill. And I don't think you know, they're at a point where they've got to, you know, immediately pull the plug on this thing, or 2-4. It's not over yet. But you look at the schedule that they've got in front of them, and they're just running out of chances. This becomes a game that, if you want to, you know, continue to be relevant in 2019, this is a game that they have to win.
I saw an article written by Nate Davis with USA Today, and he was talking about potential trade targets of players in the NFL. He had 19 listed. Of the 19 he had listed, three were members of the Tennessee Titans, including right tackle Jack Conklin, along with Derrick Henry, Titans running back. In addition, on this list, he had Delanie Walker, tight end with the Titans. Any possible way any of those three, those names, could be playing elsewhere this year?
I mean, I don't think anything's off the table at this point, especially if things really go off the rails. Again, I think, you know, a lot is sort of predicated on what we see from the Titans this week. If the Titans' offense does look better under Ryan Tannehill, you know, we'll see what happens. And again, I think, you know, a lot of the problems are strictly traced back to what this team is doing offensively. You know, elsewhere, you know, on this team, the defense is doing well. Special teams is doing pretty well. You know, Brett Kern is punting at an all-pro level. Adam Humphries is doing an adequate job as a returner. Obviously, you had the Cairo Santos debacle, but you're still waiting for Ryan Succop to come back in a few weeks here. And by all indications so far, you know, he's on pace for that. So, you know, there is some positives in play. It really boils down to the offense. So, you know, those players that you mentioned, you know, I would imagine those would be, you know, some of the top guys for sure that other teams would be interested in. And you know, going forward, it'll be interesting to see how this offense plays, because, again, I think, you know, so much will be decided in these next couple of weeks. You know, you've got the Bucs coming in after the Chargers. These are two, to me, winnable games that, you know, if you do win, the conversation shifts a little bit. It'll just sort of be interesting to see what Ryan Tannehill is able to do.
With that said, we're not talking about, you know, there's 32 teams in the NFL, and we're not talking about, when you look at what remains on this schedule, you know, teams 30, 31, or 32. And what I mean by that, when I look at it, you know, there might be one win on this schedule, the way we've seen the Titans play this year. But if they play like they did against Buffalo, against Jacksonville, against Denver, one win may be it the rest of the way, if that. We could be talking about a 3-13 season. So, if you know, and at that point, when you talk about potential trade targets, you know, what are you playing for? I don't think Mike Vrabel or John Robinson are going anywhere this year anyway. So, right. If you're them and you're trying to reload and put yourself in a best position for next year, because I could easily see this team going from 3-13, for example, if that's what we're talking about, to all of a sudden a playoff team next year with the talent that we have on this roster.
Yeah, you know, I could see that too, and I agree. I don't think anyone's going anywhere yet. I think Mariota, this move was, you know, I don't know if scapegoat is the right word, but, you know, now they have a chance to sort of, you know, maybe get their guy going forward, their own quarterback to develop, so we'll see if that pans out. But, yeah, I mean, just looking at the schedule, you know, you still have the Chiefs, you still have the Saints, you've got the Texans twice, still have the Colts, the Jaguars again. It's a tough road for them, and, you know, I mean, if the offense is playing as it has, I mean, I don't think they're capable of beating anyone, really. So, yeah, I agree. I think it could go off the rails really quickly here. It's really, again, all dependent upon if this offense can get it together. And I think, you know, again, I don't think, you know, it's not capable of doing that. I think the offensive line has to play better. But, you know, things could look different with a different quarterback under center, and you still have Derrick Henry, you know, running back there. So if you're able to get a lead, you've got a guy that could, you know, whittle down a defense. So, you know, I don't think, you know, I'm ready to pull the plug on this entire thing just yet. But things could go off the rails quick if this offense under Ryan Tannehill doesn't look much better than it has the past couple of weeks under Marcus Mariota.
I said this earlier this hour. I called the Chargers the Indianapolis Colts of the West, and what I mean by that, since the you know we've had the Tennessee Oilers slash Titans, the Chargers franchise 10-1 against Tennessee. The only win for the Titans came back in 2013 at home when they won 20-17. That's it. 10-1 the Chargers are, starting in 98 when Ryan Leaf and the Chargers brought the Tennessee Oilers into the NFL, first regular season game, played over at Vanderbilt, and the Chargers walked away with a 13-7 win in that one. But 10-1, that just kind of blows my mind a little bit.
Yeah, it is kind of hard to fathom a little bit. You know, I think it's a testament to what they've been doing there consistently, you know, in San Diego and now Los Angeles. And you know, it goes back to Phillip Rivers, who, you know, this week, defensive coordinator DMPs, Mike Vrabel, really spoke a lot about how he's one of the best of all time as far as throwing receivers open, just with his anticipation and, you know, just that skill set, what he brings to the table, just reading coverages and you know, getting past them. He's really good at doing that, and it is kind of remarkable just how the Chargers have had the Titans' number, you know, of late and really going back a couple of decades now. One thing I will say is that the Chargers' past two games, obviously they're in the middle of a disappointing season to this point. They've been outscored 38-0 in the first half of the past couple of games combined. You know, so I think a big key in this one will be who gets out to that early lead. If the Titans can do that at home, again, with Derrick Henry back there as sort of your closer, I think they could be in good shape to sort of, you know, buck the trend that you just mentioned.
Yeah, and I think it's one of those things when we talk about that, too. It can't just be a field goal. It can't be Tennessee up 3-0. I think it's very important if we're talking about Titans finding a way to get a win on Sunday, it has to be with the fact that they get out of the gates early and get some momentum and get on a roll. Otherwise, if they're allowing the Chargers to linger, and, you know, look, we know the Titans' defense is going to play well. They seem to do that week in and week out, so we kind of trust them. But the Chargers, as you brought up, you know, they had a very similar season as the Tennessee Titans. They won the first week, then lose two. Win to even up the record at 2-2. Both of these teams come into this game on Sunday riding two-game losing streaks.
Yeah, they're another team that's sort of hard to predict week to week this year. You know, Melvin Gordon missed the first few games of the year, hasn't really gotten fully up to speed. But you would think, you know, with a guy like that, it's kind of just a matter of time before he gets into a rhythm. And, you know, a lot of that with him as a running back is that they've been behind, so they've had to throw. So, you know, if they get him fully going, they become more dangerous. But yeah, you know, again, they're a team that's been unpredictable. And if you're the Titans, they're a team that, you know, on paper looks beatable. They're a team that, if you still have playoff ambitions, this is a game that, you know, you should be looking to win. With the way the Titans defense is playing, I still think for as bad as the offense is, they should, you know, be able to stick in any game. And it's kind of remarkable when you just look back at the schedule and see that they haven't allowed a opponent to score more than 20 points this year. And, you know, if they're scoring 21 points a game, they're 6-0, which, you know, in today's NFL really isn't asking all that much. So we'll see if the offense could come alive this week, because we know, as you mentioned, that there's a very high floor for what to expect out of this defense.
All right, so Marcus Mariota gets benched when his record fell below 500. Mike Vrabel gets hired, taking over a team that won a playoff game the year before, looking to take the team from good to great. And if he loses on Sunday, he'll be 11-12 as far as so far in his career as a head coach of the Titans. Last time I checked, that doesn't define greatness to me.
It doesn't. This the whole thing, you know, it's funny because I was actually looking back, was writing a story, have been writing a story just sort of how we got to this point where, you know, the Titans were up 7-0 in the divisional round of the playoffs less than 2 years ago in New England, and now they're 2-4. They benched Mariota. And I just was going back through Mike Vrabel's introductory press conference and kind of how he spoke about, I think it was two or three questions in, how he was speaking about the vision he had for Marcus Mariota and how the relationship he had with him was as important as his relationship with anyone here, and just the vision for doing things to help him, bringing in guys to help him, and just doing everything they can to put him, Mariota, in the best position to succeed. And, you know, just kind of remarkable how last year things seemed to be trending in a decent direction. You know, you make a lot of moves this offseason to sort of put yourself on that good to great path and make that, you know, a mantra that, you know, a lot of people felt optimistic about, and just seeing how it's completely unraveled, you know, in such a short period of time. You know, I think it's a layered problem offensively, you know, from the guys they brought in to the coaching to the execution. You know, we've kind of been looking all around, looking to point the finger at one person in particular, and I don't think that's the case. I think it's more than Mariota. I think it's more than Arthur Smith, more than the offensive line. I think it's all of these contributing factors that have sort of put the Titans in this position, and we'll see if Ryan Tannehill could somehow get them out of it.